Hey everybody, welcome to a brand new installment of Nintendo World Report at night for Thursday, May 5th, Cinco de Mayo, 2016. I'm your host, Alexander Kaloppi, today joined by one Donald Terrio.
It's the Revenge of the Fifth, everybody run for your lives.
May the Fifth be with you, Donald Terrio. We're also joined by Zachary Miller.
Why, hello. How are you?
Is that an amiibo I see?
It is a new amiibo.
Wait, it's an old amiibo. New old. It's new for you.
Yes.
Is that the one from Smash?
Yeah, it's the cheaper of the two. I got it because the little Mario game.
The free-to-play one?
It's working. Their strategy is working.
Wait, so you bought an amiibo for that free-to-play Mario game?
Yeah, I have most of the other amiibos already, but I figured I may as well get this one, too. It's cheaper.
Yes. We have a biggish show today. You know what we have? We have one really big news story and some other things that we're all interested in that don't directly tie to Nintendo. Also, later on in the show, we're going to be giving away some codes. Stay tuned if you're in the chat. We have some stuff from the Humble Bundle to give away, don't we, Donald?
Yes, we do. A couple of the bigger games from the bundle that, amazingly, are in the lower tiers.
Very cool. So, let's talk about Nintendo at E3 2016. There's that press release last week where all the crazy news was dropped. Zelda's coming out on NX and it's 2017. NX is coming out in 2017. Zelda's going to be the only playable game at E3 2016 for Nintendo. And this morning, they somewhat clarified what that actually means. So Nintendo announced a couple things. One, they reiterated Zelda Wii U will be the only playable game at E3 2016. What they clarified was that, A, it will be long demos of Zelda Wii U. They claim the reason they did this was to add longer demos and to give people the proper chance to play this open-world Zelda game. B, they stated that the main video content is going to be Treehouse Live that Tuesday, starting at the time when they normally would be doing their digital event, running throughout the entire day. So they're going to be doing Treehouse Live, but it's going to be all devoted to the Zelda game. And the third thing, which I still don't understand, is whether there's actually going to be a digital event or not. They did not claim there was going to be a digital event.
Yeah, that's true.
But they didn't directly say there wasn't going to be a digital event, right, Donald?
Right. They only mentioned that starting at what would normally be the digital event slot, that Reggie would be emceeing Treehouse Live, playing Zelda, for a good chunk of the day, if not straight through until 6 o'clock Pacific time. The thing that I would point out, though, is that remember last year, just before E3, they did a bunch of DS stuff, including, I think, Chibi-Robo Ziplash in a direct micro right before the show?
It was dropped. So you know what it was? I think it was like a week and a half or 2 weeks before E3 itself. But what was so interesting about that was that it followed about 2 days after a proper Japanese Nintendo Direct, and that Nintendo Direct Micro, at like 20 minutes long, was just straight up dropped on YouTube, like just in full.
Right.
Yeah.
Which was how Nintendo Directs used to be at the very beginning. They would just post it and you could scroll along at any point.
Yeah. So what I'm taking this to mean is that Nintendo thinks E3 is even more toast than we realize, because they're going to have Treehouse Live just on day one. They're not going to show anything the other 2 days. They're not going to have any sort of streaming from the booth. No. It's just presumably so more people can play Zelda. But
right.
They're probably not going to have a digital event. What we could see, though, is a full direct about the size of the March one, to clear the tracks for everything else coming out this year, because they still have like Dragon Quests and Pokemon, and God forbid Federation Force gets more negativity, Paper Mario, all of that. So I bet they get all that out of the way early, probably a week to 10 days before, and then all Zelda all the time at E3 for however long they care.
Right. Between today, March or May 5th, and E3, in between this, that, and the last day E3, we're going to see something. We're going to see some video presentation from Nintendo, because we just have to. The fact that Kimishima basically straight up said there is more 3DS stuff to be announced that we haven't announced for the West yet, which I take to mean Picross 3D, maybe the new Style Savvy, maybe
Box Boy.
Maybe Box Boy. Wait, Box Boy 2 still isn't out?
No, not yet.
Okay, and then Disney Magical World 2. That's what I take that to mean. And then I'm guessing... Mm-hmm, go ahead.
And there's one other thing that they cruelly teased in Nintendo Badge Arcade today that we were all expecting to come out around E3 if it didn't come out a couple weeks ago. Mother 3.
Mother 3. And if Nintendo... Okay, so I saw that thing where it was... The rabbit was like, oh, I know what all Nintendo fans say when they think of Mother... And then there was a pause, and then it was like, Mother Brain, ha ha ha! And then, like, he was sort of slyly talking about that. I think Nintendo's playing by Sony's rulebook, where they're trolling their fans, but at the same time, they know that they're eventually going to make good on it, so they feel okay actually trolling their fans.
Haven't they been trolling us about Mother 3 for 2 years?
Yes, but this time it's actually going to happen, Zach.
Yeah. I mean, they've been trolling us ever since they fireballed Claymation Chris Kohler in the face in E3 2014.
Yeah. But I think there's definitely going to be some Nintendo Direct between now and the end of E3. Namely because I'm guessing they probably have at least one major Wii U game they haven't announced yet. I think there's at least one major Wii U game they haven't announced yet that they have to announce. Because it feels like just something's missing from this schedule. I have a feeling it's either going to be Animal Crossing, which was what Nintendo announced the last really, really bad Nintendo year, which I think was like 2008. Or it'll end up being, I don't know. Maybe Pikmin, maybe something else. But I have a feeling there's probably at least one more major Wii U game. Also, they have to reveal more details on Paper Mario Wii U. It would be insane if there was no direct reveal that clarified Paper Mario in between now and E3.
And we have 3 Smash Brothers amiibo that need release dates. Cloud, Corrin, Bayonetta. And... I'm gonna guess that Animal Crossing game, if it does end up coming to pass, is probably gonna be free to play and use amiibo, because much like Zach with Mini Mario, they need some way to get those bloody Animal Crossing amiibo off
the shelves.
Mm-hmm. Is it surprising that amiibo for Animal Crossing bombed as hard as they did?
No.
Do you think it's down to the characters, or do you think it's down to the quality of those games?
A little from column A, a little from column B, but I think Japan cares about the characters. We want something to do with them, which is why the Smash Brothers amiibo do well, but like Mario Party, Chibi Robo, sadly, and Animal Crossing don't do very well.
Oh, that Chibi Robo thing was so sad. I saw the amiibo bundle on Amazon for $20.
It was $15. You could get it here for $12 with price matching, but $15 Damn. Otherwise.
Damn. And I still don't want it. That's the thing. I still don't want that game. But anyways, Giovanni Zen, Arabuster, and RZA all mentioned Detective Pikachu. There's no way we're not seeing that this year.
I'm not convinced we'll see it here at all.
Really?
Yeah.
Why is that, Zachary?
Just seems so Japanese.
I mean, it is pretty Japanese, but it's not... don't forget, Pokemon Conquest was brought over.
That's true, it was.
Pokemon crossed Nobunaga's ambition.
Yeah, that's right.
And at least people here had heard of that game. I think the shocking thing was that it stayed on DS in 2012.
Mm.
I have some choice quotes from the press release. that sort of clarifies for some of the Zelda stuff. And we already talked about it, but just so you can hear the exact wording. This is like Nintendo's Scott Moffitt quote, "At E3 this year, we're treating people to an immersive Zelda experience. By giving attendees extended hands-on time with this remarkable game, they'll be able to get a much deeper understanding of something new for the franchise." Nintendo's kickoff to the E3 show happens at 9 a.m. Pacific, Tuesday, June 14th, when Nintendo of America President and COO Reggie Fils-Aimé introduces Nintendo Treehouse Live, which will be dedicated to a day of live-streamed gameplay of The Legend of Zelda. This will be the world's first in-depth look at the game, which will also include commentaries by Nintendo developers. E3 show floor stream will include game coverage, behind the scenes, and plenty of fun. Series producer Eiji Aonuma has said that the new installment of The Legend of Zelda franchise will be a clean break from the convention of previous games, removing boundaries that force players to follow a set path and introducing new gameplay that has not been experienced in previous games in the series. What this clarified for me is that Nintendo's reasoning for doing this is probably twofold. One, they really have that few games to show us this year. And actually, there's part of me that questions whether Pikmin 3 would actually come to the Wii U this year if it wasn't even playable. Pikmin 4, excuse me, would even be playable this year if it wasn't a show for. I mean, Paper Mario is going to suck, so like, who cares?
Well, I mean, there was a very controversial Paper Mario game that was supposed to come out at the end of the GameCube's life, and they ended up moving that one to the Wii.
Right. There was also, I believe, a remake of Paper Mario 64 for DS that did not end up ultimately existing. But I only read that somewhere like a Wikipedia article. Anyways, the other reason why I think this is happening is that Nintendo looks at Zelda as an open-world game and is not terrified, but very concerned or considerate or focused on how they can properly market that to the market of E3. And they think the only way to do that is to do extended demos. But if you have extended demos of Zelda, you got to have as many demo kiosks as possible. And if you're going to have as many demo kiosks as possible, there's not going to be any room for any other games, especially if you're not showing off the NX this year.
Well, or at least at the C3, because they've said there's going to be something between now and March, which presumably would be later this year, showing off the NX.
Right. It would be whatever the Wii U event was that September before the November it came out.
Well, hopefully at E3 this year, they say what the damn name of the game is.
Oh, they absolutely will. Do you guys have any guesses?
Blank of blank.
The blank of the blank. I'm going with as pretentious a name as humanly possible.
Well, I'm going to go with The Legend of Zelda, blank blank.
Oh.
Two words.
Just like Skyward Sword.
Okay, and Majora's Mask.
Ooh, you know what? I'm actually going to change mine.
Blank.
No. The Legend of Zelda. They've already revealed the final title of the game. They're going to pull a Smash Bros. And do that shitty thing where they just...
The Legend of Zelda for Wii U and The Legend of Zelda for NX or whatever it ends up being called.
There's a chance they do that. The only reason why I doubt that is that when they italicize the game's title, they don't do it like they did for Smash, which is Super Smash Bros. For Wii U, all italicized. They do it The Legend of Zelda italicized, and then for Wii U is just regular typeface. So it at least at this point, the official title for The Legend of Zelda on Wii U is The Legend of Zelda, which would make sense to me, because The Legend of Zelda is supposed to go back to the roots, back to the NES game in some capacity.
That would be cool.
The Legend of Zelda The Open World, from Joseph Briano. The Legend of Zelda Chronicles X.
I'd buy that at a high price.
That was Kaneki Ken. And then Kane says The Legend of Zelda Male Edition and The Legend of Zelda Female Edition. Oh, man. Okay. Yeah, The Legend of Zelda Working Title. I like that one.
Just keep that one.
Arabuster, The Legend of Zelda Dangerous, Giovanni Zen, again, The Legend of Zelda playable trailer, RZA, The Legend of Zelda, Hylian Shield of Persuasion. These are all pretty good. Okay, that's enough of me reading them. I think... Here's a gameplay prediction I'm going to make. As someone who has been playing Dark Souls lately, I think The Legend of Zelda, male edition and female edition, will have asynchronous multiplayer, where it could be like a message thing. Basically, however they do it in Dark Souls with the messages and with the bloodstains and with all that, that's how I bet they're going to do it with Zelda, except they're going to do their own Nintendo version of it, so it still feels kind of original, and it's going to be in some ways better and in some ways worse. Think about the difference between Rocket League and how I presume Blast Ball is going to turn out.
Well, don't forget, this is the same series that brought us Messages and Bottles for Wind Waker, so that's not out of the question, actually, especially since that's built into the system with Miiverse to begin with.
We are still planning our E3 coverage, because normally our E3 coverage is like it's the biggest week of the year. Nintendo World Report's year, it's the biggest week of the year. We're still figuring that out. We all have some pretty awesome ideas, and we are also going to have people at E3, so we will cover this game.
It's totally going to be the biggest day of the year.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. So we're if you like Nintendo World Report's E3 coverage, there will be E3 coverage this year. We're probably going to get somewhat creative with it, though, much like the new Zelda game on Wii U.
Mm.
Anyways... I think that's everything, is it not, Donald?
Yeah, I think that's everything. So, want to give something away?
I want you to give something away, Donald.
All right. So I'm going to pop up on the screen right now a code for Runbo. Now, is that coming through at all?
I see. Runbo -3 question marks.
Okay, so it's not all going through. Let's try this again.
Okay.
There. Oh, here's your code. So the question marks are there's your hint, the Pokedex number for the Pokemon list.
Jesus Christ.
Donald, I wasn't actually going to give that part away. I was like,
this is some fastest finger nonsense right here.
Mm. Yeah. Also, if you are able, this is for Rumbo on Wii U.
That's right. It's Runbo for Wii U from the Humble Bundle, since that Sword and Soldiers 2 and Nano Assault DX got added this week.
Okay. Well, I'm going to leave Donald's up for a second. Anyways, here's what you can do. Do your best to get that in. Get that into your Wii U's. If you're in the chat and you get to collect this Runbo code, let us know so I can give you a shout-out, or Donald can give you a shout-out, or Zach can give you a shout-out.
Well, now you can do it on the internets, right?
Yeah.
Website for codes now.
Anyways, do your best at getting this code. Good luck, and let us know if you get it. Now, our second part of the show. This morning, new information for Persona 5. Was revealed. This is Nintendo World Report at night, meaning that it's not all Nintendo stuff. There wasn't enough Nintendo stuff this week. Zach is dead. And, Persona 5 stuff got revealed. Donald, tell me all about your favorite waifu.
Honestly, I think my favorite part of the whole waifu sequence was the fact that your protagonist was stone cold, just, yeah, whatever. While somebody was about to take off what was heavily implied to be Bikini Bottoms, but as far as the one that I'm probably going to end up maining, it's a girl who rides her persona as a motorcycle.
That one is she the black haired one that looks like a fusion of Yukiko and Naoto?
Yeah.
Okay. Not bad. My favorite one is the one who looks exactly like the female protagonist of Splatoon.
Yeah.
The Naoto equivalent of this game.
Yeah. They showed off most of the rest of the playable cast, because it seems like they have one character left that's going to be playable that they aren't showing off probably until the game comes out. So probably a massive spoiler in there when he does get revealed. But they also, there was the trailer announced like the Japanese release date, September 15th. I think I have an idea of when it's coming out in North America, but Europe, I'd like to apologize, you're not getting this year. But they had a developer interview that came up after it that showed off elements of the battle system, like how you can start a battle by ripping a guy's head off, and then the shadows show up.
Damn.
And the end battle scene, it's probably going to get old eventually after, 70, 80 hours of gameplay, but the fact that it shows you are basically running around high-fiving teammates and things like that as your experience points, your money, and your items come up, that is probably the coolest end battle sequence ever.
Yes. Oh, you're talking about the result screen when it reveals how much XP, how much money you got.
Exactly.
Yeah. This game's style is off the charts, and this is coming from someone who thinks Persona 4 is arguably the most successfully stylish game ever made.
Yeah, I mean, if this thing comes out, when this thing comes out in North America, if it doesn't win Giant Bomb's Best Style Award, they should just retire the thing.
They showed off the style, and the game looks like it's Persona 4, but now it's like a caper, basically. And now the protagonists are older, and now it takes place in proper Tokyo. And the style's off the charts. The box art is incredible. And it looks like more Persona. There are plenty of waifus. I don't want to spend too much time on this because we still got what we've been playing, which some people who are Nintendo guys can still probably get into. My question for you, Donald, does Persona 5 come out in North America this year?
I say yes, but the first Tuesday in December. Because it's close to the anniversary of when Persona 4 came out. It wouldn't be their fastest localization, considering we'd be looking at September 15th to early December, and they did Shin Megami Tensei 4 in 2 months, but it would be close. And given that they have reconfirmed for about the 20,000th time that there's a PS3 version, I can't see them putting out a PS3 game in 2017. Not even Atlas is that crazy. Maybe NNS America, but not Atlas.
Well, what they could do is they could make the PS3 version digital only, like just basically fulfill a need. Or they could do a very limited print run of the PS3 version, almost like they did with Twilight Princess on GameCube.
Yeah. I mean the PS3 version, now that it's reconfirmed, that is still the version I'm going to buy, so no PS4 for me this year.
Mm-hmm.
And now that I think about it, yeah, early December does seem to be the right time for a big RPG, because I mean they did it last. There was a really big RPG that came out after I locked in my game of the year last year with Trails of Cold Steel.
Okay.
So I could see that, and it's right after what's probably going to be PlayStation Experience 2016, and that's where Sega put Yakuza 5 out last year.
Yes, absolutely. My question then is, what day does Shin Megami Tensei 4 Apocalypse come out?
Generally, those placeholder dates that Amazon puts up are accurate to within a few days.
Wait, I thought they announced a date. Are you saying they haven't?
They haven't announced a date, but Amazon has a placeholder date right now of September 20th, which maybe within a week or so, but that seems to be about right for SMT4 Apocalypse.
The only reason why I'm asking is Atlas, almost without fail, likes to release a big game in the November area. So I'm trying to figure out if Shin Megami Tensei 4 Apocalypse is going to be that game. If it is, I question whether Persona 5 would come out this year.
Yeah, it's just that they've already said summer for Apocalypse, so it's sometime between E3 and just before Final Fantasy 15 comes out.
Okay. Well, so that's all. It's Persona 5, probably going to be one of the best games of all time, but you know that.
Yeah, the only reason I haven't, like, the only reason it's not my most hyped game right now is because Tokyo Mirage Sessions comes out in, like, a month and a half.
Tokyo Mirage Sessions! Yes!
It was fun!
Yes, Zach.
I didn't play it, but I watched Neil and several other people play it. Looks like Persona with Fire Emblem personas.
Yes! That is exactly what it is. You can read my my preview of the game on NintendoWorldReport.com. I played it at PAX East. It is a very fun game. I would describe it as a much more accessible Persona with the overworld traversal and some of the gameplay from Shin Megami Tensei 4.
Yeah, and if you really want to go into really long detail about it, Don wrote a 5.5-page preview. That is up on Nintendo World Report right now.
Because
Europe is insane. They got the preview. They got the review copies already.
Yeah.
I'm so jealous.
Yeah, you'll probably get yours like the day it comes out, and then you'll have like -2 days to review it.
I'm hoping not, because there's a very good chance that if we're doing something at E3, it's probably going to involve me, Tokyo Mirage Sessions, and a new streaming box I just bought.
Oh, look at you, Donnie. Look at you. Okay.
I don't know how much of it I'll be able to stream. I mean, we'll see what happens when the embargo hits, but yeah.
Sure. Okay. Now we have... that should do it for Persona 5, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so, then there's another code you got to give away. And no one has claimed the Runbo code yet.
Oh.
All right.
Maybe someone watching this YouTube video after the fact is going to claim it. If you do, and that will be really sad, but if you do, hit me up at Kulafia, C-U-L-A-F-I-A. I will give you a shout-out on the following episode.
Okay. Now, the code that we're showing here, right down at the bottom of the screen, this is for Shantae and the Pirate's Curse. This is the 3DS version.
This is the game you want. This is the version of the game you want.
Is what makes this version so good, Zach?
The 3D.
Oh, really?
It also that sprite work does not look great on a big-ass TV.
Donald, talk again.
Yeah, so there, the hint is there as well if you're going Pokemon hunting. I tried to stay away from the obvious ones, obviously.
Yeah, Scrafty's a cool Pokemon.
Yeah. Even if his prior form is a little trouble keeping his pants up.
The less said about that, the better. Okay, there we go. That should do it. Let's move on to our final topic, which is what we've been playing. It'll actually probably be a very brief segment. Brief as in under 10-15 minutes. Just because I don't know what you've been playing, Zach. Have you been playing something?
Severed. I platinumed it.
Yeah, you can tell us about that first. Then I'll talk about Dark Souls and Super Beat Zonic, and then Donald could close on some solitaire horses and other stuff.
Oh, I got that today, too. So Severed is from Drinkbox Studios. They brought you Guacamelee and Mutant Blobs Attack and something else that I don't remember. Severed is a Vita game. It's a first-person dungeon crawler, which you may remember from computer games 20 years ago.
Or Etrian Odyssey.
Or Etrian... Hey, why didn't I put that in my review? Damn it, man. Or Etrian Odyssey. And it's very colorful and grim, and you slash at enemies in the manner of Fruit Ninja meets Skyward Sword. And it's really deep.
Oh, so, one thing I... to note, and I'm very sorry for interrupting, Zach.
No.
The codes Donald just gave you are North American only, to answer right. One of the questions from the chat if it works in Europe. North American only. Sorry, / you're welcome, / whatever, whatever, whatever. Continue, Zach.
Okay. So you slash at things in a certain direction to avoid their blocks and to counter their attacks, and... some enemies have buffs, some enemies have a real short cooldown, some enemies you have to attack more or less continually so they don't power up during the fight, and it's all very impressive. And there's, you know, there's light puzzle solving in the dungeons. This is only my second platinum trophy, but it was relatively easy to get. And I just really like it. It's a really quality product. It's probably the last Vita game that will ever see the light of day that gets any attention. It could easily work on Wii U.
Donald has something to say about that.
Okay.
Are you talking about Danganronpa 3 or Trails of Cold Steel 2?
Or Virtues something something something.
Zero Time Dilemma, yes.
But Zero Time Dilemma.
Oh, you're right. Those, yeah, okay. Forgot about all three of those, but...
Don't get me wrong, Zach. You're in the final five.
Yeah, that's probably true. But it's only $15. It is absolutely worth playing. It feels like it was handcrafted for the system in a way that's not gimmicky. You know, you wouldn't see this game at launch. You'd see a game that's shitty, but like it at launch. So this is clearly a game that's had time to mature. It's had at least 2 years in development. Real good game.
Zach, this game was announced at the PAX East where we were in the same hotel room together, I think.
It was announced before that.
You think so? Or you know
yeah,
so?
I know so, but there was a demo at that PAX East.
So there's some announcement of that game that was semi-formal happened at that PAX, I remember. Something okay. involving that game. I don't know, but maybe we're both right.
It might have gotten a tentative release date at that PAX East.
That was 2 years ago.
It was, oh, was it 2 years ago?
Yes.
Oh, then maybe it was announced at that PAX East. But last year, around the same time, it got a tentative release date for late 2015, but they didn't make it. But it just came out. Very little fanfare, but excellent game. Highly recommend. Easy platinum.
Oh, Arabuster also mentions I Am Setsuna coming to the Vita. Maybe.
Actually, it isn't. Not North America, anyway.
Really?
Yeah, PS4 and PC only for that one.
Oh, too bad. Sorry, Arabuster. Okay, there you go. Also, you mentioned I Am Setsuna, but Severed as like, oh, they would do a crappier version of this game, but at launch, didn't that studio put out a game near the launch of the Vita that was like really well received?
Well, they put out a launch game, Mutant Blobs Attack.
Yes.
Yeah. Which I own, but still haven't played. I need to play that.
Mm.
I really like Drinkbox. They do really good work.
Yeah, I think I put about 5 minutes into that game when I got my Vita finally. So I had it, but it's just something. One of these days I need to go on like a Vita Vision Quest or something and just plow through all the stuff that I've downloaded but never really put any time into.
Yeah, I made some Vita purchases lately for the first time in a very long time. A few weeks ago, I bought Earth Defense Force 2. What was the one that wasn't Earth Defense Force 4, the one that just came out on Vita?
Yeah, that was EDF2.
That was EDF2, which is not EDF 2017. It's the game that was originally released before EDF 2017 on PS2, I think.
Is this the giant bug shooting game?
Yes.
Nice.
Okay, so if I remember this game correctly... and I'm going to Wikipedia as I talk about it. Earth Defense Force 2017 is the first one, I think, that came to America. Before that, it was mostly Japanese exclusive, except this game, EDF2, came to Europe also. And I could be misremembering that. But anyways, it finally came out to the West as EDF2, where story-wise, it actually acts as a sequel to EDF 2017, where it takes place a few years after EDF 2017. Earth Defense Force 2017 is a wonderful action game. Everyone should play that. Anyways,
I remember you talking about it.
Yes, if you like killing monsters and really stupid bad action that's also amazingly fun, get EDF 2017 or this game EDF 2. Don't get EDF 4. It's not nearly as good as the other two, no matter what anyone tells you. Sure. It's too bloated with repetitive bad content. Anyways, I played that. I also bought, as part of the PlayStation Network Golden Week sale, I got Digimon Cyber Sleuth on Vita, which I have not played yet. I have no interaction with the Digimon series before that, other than I really like Pokemon. This game seems like it could scratch a Pokemon itch for a little while until Sun Moon. We'll
what
see.
It's for. That's why it was made.
Yeah, and I'm going to be playing that soon. But the third game I bought... Oh, what were you saying, Donald?
No, I was just... Because I know what the third game is, because I actually got it at the same time.
Oh, you bought Super Big Zonic also?
I was sent the money by a very close friend, actually, to buy this game.
Just oh.
Timing worked out, but yes, I do have it as well.
So Super Big Zonic is the game built from the remnants of DJ, the DJ Max people, right?
Yeah.
That's where the DJ Max studio collapsed through various financial troubles, and then this new studio was built from the ashes, and they made Super Beat Zonic, which is a game made exclusively for Vita. I think there could be an arcade version, but I doubt it. And it's a really good rhythm game that takes advantage of the Vita's front touchscreen, and it has all that K-pop and J-pop, which is really catchy but also really crummy at the same time.
Having the Senran rhythm game has that exact same problem.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Crummy K-pop, that's also crummy, really good.
Crummy K-pop that you really hate every other time you play it.
But somehow can't stop listening to.
Well, you have to listen to it if you're going to play the game.
Yeah.
I'm trying to platinum that game, so I'm sick of it.
Anyways, it's really cool. If you like DJ Max games, you are absolutely going to like this game. What do you think of it, Donald?
So far, I just busted it on the bus. Pro tip, don't try to play really complicated rhythm games on a bus. It doesn't go well. But, yeah.
At least you're not blowing into anything.
Oh, God. I specifically avoid 3DS games that use the mic for that purpose. So, never play in the DS Zelda games again. Nope. But, Zonic... The music so far is pretty fun. I'm still playing on the lower difficulty layer, so I'm getting used to the 4 beats. I'm afraid to see what happens when I get to expert, but I don't tend to go that high anyway. Because from what I've heard, you really have to get good real fast.
Do you know if they've taken Technica Tune, DJ Max Technica Tune, down from the PSN yet?
They haven't. I still have it on my wish list, but the problem is it's $45 here.
Damn.
And it's never going to go on sale. Because
no.
Publisher is toast.
I will say, if you like Super Beat Zonic, I'm actually going to say this the reverse way, you will also probably really get into DJ Max Technica Tune. It's a slightly simpler game as far as features go, like there's less modes, and it's more just something to play if you just want raw rhythm gameplay. But if you are one of those super hardcore rhythm game players, DJ Max Technica Tune and Super Beat Zonic, you cannot go wrong. And then Dark Souls 3. I've almost beaten Dark Souls 3. That game is really good. That game is Dark Souls plus Bloodborne plus Dark Souls 2. It takes a lot of the best stuff from each series and mashes it together. The only downside to the game, in my opinion, is that it is quite linear. But I think I said that a few weeks ago when I last talked about Dark Souls 3. So I will keep it to that. Anyways, Donald, tell me about some stuff.
Yeah, so Neil wanted us to mention tonight that Pocket Card Jockey is really, really good, and you should be buying it. It is
really, really good.
Yeah.
It's really, really stupid, but it's really, really good.
You know the game's getting off to a good start when your main character gets killed off in the first 5 minutes and then revived because reasons.
What did you name your horse?
I'm still working off of my demo one, so his name was Rapidasher.
Nice. I named mine Who's on First.
There was a few that I wanted to try, but I'm pretty sure the Nintendo profanity filter will block some of them.
Probably.
Thankfully, there is quite a few
of the horses that go into the races with mine are named after Pokemon moves. Like Bullet Seed was one of them.
That's cool, Zach.
Yeah.
Bullet Seed, Solar Beam, Giga Impact. So some of these are like porn star names too.
Yeah, I think once we get into like Hydro Pump, then we're gonna have some problems. Yeah, but I mean, it's not like Klondike Solitaire. It's more like, I think Spider Solitaire is the one that it's called. I have the feeling there are going to be several moments in this game that I'm going to be cursing the random number god.
Yes, I do. I am already.
Yeah, but it'll be worth it. And although one thing I've heard from going from the demo to the final game, that they jacked up the price of items in the shop when you unlock it.
Really? How much are they normally in your demo?
In the demo, it was like 100 or 200 coins, but when you get into the main game, it's like five figures for most items.
So I paid 300 for the glasses, 300 for something else, and 300 for something else.
Yeah, maybe it's in a higher class of race. Like, if you're going to want to cheat to win in, say, the Derby, you're going to have to really pay for it. But,
oh, okay.
Yeah, apparently they can get up there, but I haven't gotten that far. I'll probably be picking up the final game when we're done here, because it's $7 US, but it's $9.89 here.
Really?
Yeah, which they got it close with the exchange rate, but it probably should be about a buck cheaper. But oh well, the game's good enough that it's definitely going to be worth a buy.
Yeah, the only thing I don't like about it is that during a race, which can last several minutes, you can't close the 3DS, and I don't think you can pause.
No.
So you have to do it all. I mean, if you're interrupted, you're kind of fucked. But
yeah, and especially on those longer, like six segment races where you're doing like 2 miles or a mile and a half.
That's a weird decision. Don't even let you pause.
Yeah, but that's happening with a lot of games nowadays, like Dark Souls, Plants vs. Zombies, which is basically an always online game. Heck, you can't even pause in Splatoon.
No, that's true. Mm.
How Game Freak is this game?
Very Game Freaky.
Yeah?
Yeah, it's between the Pokemon references and just their art style, it's Game Freak as hell.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Should I get this game?
Yes.
If really?
Yes, just get it.
So, okay, here's the reason why I show hesitation. I love me some Game Freak because I love me some Pokemon. On the other hand, Tembo the Badass Elephant was, looking back, an okay game at best.
Oh, that was Game Freak too?
Yeah, Tembo the Badass Elephant was Game Freak. And Harmonite was good at best.
This is better than both of them.
Okay, good to know. Donald, would you agree with that?
I'm not sure if I'd go as far as better than Harmonite, but I really, really loved Harmonite. So, okay. I would say yes, definitely worth it, especially since it's far cheaper than Harmonite is.
Okay. Anything else you need to mention very quickly before we wrap this up, Donald?
Nope. I probably will have more next week because I'm getting into that Trails of Cold Steel finally.
Okay. Well, if and when there is no news next week, we will talk about Trails of Cold Steel. Anyways, Zach, I can hear the stuff happening in the background. You got to go very soon, a.k.a. immediately. So we are going to end this show, patreon.com/NWR. Someone had a question about backer reward /incentive/whatever. We'll figure that out in the foreseeable future.
If you contribute $1 a month, just $1 a month, although you should contribute more, you can read my review of Sever, which is a Patreon exclusive.
Very cool. Also, the audio version of this show, which is now a thing, will be going up like at least a number of hours, if not a whole day sooner than it will be going for the rest of the website. That is for anyone who donates at the $1 level or more, I believe. It could be $2, I'm not totally sure. But for some price, that is a small price to pay to keep Nintendo World Report nice and healthy. So patreon.com/NWR.
And I will say tomorrow, patrons will get 4 days early access to the first edition of the revived NWR mailbag.
Aw, damn.
Look at you. So yeah, there's plenty of exclusive content, there's plenty of early content. Once again, patreon.com/NWR. Now, you can find Zach on Twitter at zmiller1902, ZMILLER1902, Donald on Twitter at DONALDMICK, Donald Mick, or NFR Podcast on Nintendo Free Radio, his other sister show to this one, kind of, not really, but kind of. And then I'm on Twitter at CULAFIA. That is Lafia. Have a good night, everybody. Bye-bye.
Peace. Bye-bye.